Hi, before we get started on today's show, I wanted to share with you an opportunity to get face-to-face with a number of the most popular Run-As guests, including Jeffrey Snover, Mark Manassi, and Paul Thurrott at the IT Edge Intersection Conference, October 25th to 28th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. At the conference, you'll get to see folks like Mark Manassi, who will be doing his usual amazing job of helping you understand what Microsoft is up to with his new session on Server 2016, talking about what's awesome, what's irritating, what's improved, and what's expensive. Mark's been writing Mastering Windows Servers books now for over 20 years, and he's got some great advice that can help you get put to work immediately. Register today at itedgeintersection.com. We'll see you there.
From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 497, Fighting Dark IT with guest Matthias Carlson. Recorded Wednesday, October 5th, 2016. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brendan. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio, another one of our special Mondays episodes brought to you by Atlassian. And today, my guest is Matthias Carlson, who's been working professionally with IT for over 20 years, both operations and development, within a wide range of industries like automotive finance, telecommunications, e-commerce, just to name a few. And his interest in computing started back in the 80s with the Commodore 128, and his true passion with the Amiga. Ah, the Amiga, the bouncing ball demo. And today he's a partner and senior architect at WCOM, an operations and development consultancy, and a Microsoft Cloud partner located in Gothenburg, Sweden. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
And we've exchanged many emails over the years, actually. So it's great to finally have you on Run As.
Thank you. It's great to be on the show.
So what have you been working on lately that we've dragged you over to the IT side? Because normally I hear from you more in the development space.
Yeah, but we're 50-50 dev and ops on our company. So we've naturally been working a long time with, like, a small company needs to be dev opsy.
Well, they almost no opsy, right? Like, if it's the same guy writes the code, runs the code, takes the complaints, that's pretty straight up.
Yeah, and to be competitive, you need to be automation and efficient.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of you to go around.
Yeah, and the thing that let me reach out to you was that still find when you go out to a customer site, and especially like with new customers, that many have no idea on how their system is feeling or doing or anything.
So just no instrumentation at all?
Or even worse, they have, but they're ignoring it.
You know, if you don't look at the log file, it can't be bad news.
Yeah, exactly. And we started like a couple of years ago, about 4.5 years ago, really raising the bar when we invested in a monitoring software called PRTG from Pestler. And it was not only a tool, but it was also a process to change the attitude at both devs and developers and operation.
Interesting.
To take things seriously in a way that it's better to add monitoring that's done 100% and is tweaked than to like auto discover everything in a network and like have a lot of false alarms.
Well, and certainly I've dealt with organizations where their idea of a problem is when a customer actually complains or when somebody, you know, somebody files a service ticket.
Yeah.
Monitoring sort of beyond them.
Yeah. Once you go have like as a junior, when you have those 3 a.m. calls,
mm-hmm.
you learn that it's good to have the facts. it's good to have a plan, because then you get to go back to sleep quicker.
Right. I also, I mean, the number of times I've found an outage and then gone back and looked at log files and say, well, this system has been telling us for the past 2 months it was going to fail.
Yeah. Monitoring is essential to have, like, to live, to be confident in your system.
Why do you like PRTG? I mean, I see they have a free version for up to 100 sensors, which is cool. And obviously, there's a commercial version that gets bigger than that. But what's great about this? I mean, obviously, it's multilingual, you know, a little more Eurocentric than a lot of products I've looked at.
Yeah, and also it's good for hybrid environments.
Oh, yeah.
Many monitoring tools is like, it's great if you're running, like, you have one AD and you have everything set up and it's fine. Right. And you have, like, but when you have things like business processes and you have one server is outside the firewall, one side in, you have customer service in different Active Directories. Mm-hmm. They have good support to have probes at each site with, like, their own credentials and hierarchical things, which is really great.
That helps a lot, right? It's just to understand the complexity of this. Where do you see its strength? Like, I've always found different instrumentation packages have different pluses and minuses, right? Like, I've preemptive analytics is really awesome at .NET, but once you get much further than that, its strengths aren't there. It has features, but it's just not, that's not its best strength. What's PRTG's best strength?
I think its best strength is like at the networking operation side. It's really good, like, it has support for a lot of devices, both SNMP and you have VMI, mm-hmm. the usual CPU, memory, disk networking, and things like that, scheduled tasks. And but what really shines is that it also has support for custom sensors.
Right.
So we can write our own sensors, either as a console app, a HTTP, like REST method, or you can have a PowerShell script or a batch script, those things like that.
Interesting. So I can get my developers to include PRTG sensors into their apps.
Yeah. So, and that's where, like, just monitoring, like, a file server isn't very interesting. Mm-hmm. But when you start to monitor the process against that file server.
Right.
A file transfer is important because it has to be, often it's a part of a batch job or things like that.
Right.
You will see, like, the export from the SQL server went well. And you want to see that the transfer to, like, an FTP or whatever queue you have went well. Mm-hmm. And you want to see that it get imported in time. And then that's when the power comes to have a custom sensor, because then you can do one sensor. You always have, like, the regular CPU memory and things like that. But when you have one place there where you can see this was the time it took from import to export end to end,
right,
then it becomes really powerful. And when you can do, like, do a heterogeneous joins of different systems, you can join in, like, the Azure website, the FTP server, you can any REST API and things like that, then it becomes really powerful. Everything comes down to measuring a number. How many days since the last successful transfer?
Right.
Usually you measure, like, how many seconds, but things like that. When you start measuring that over time, it becomes really powerful.
Right. It does feel like you need to spend some time sort of building up the right set of sensors here, too. It doesn't come pre-configured with much. Like, I'm wondering, when you install this and just sort of go through the basics, what does it immediately show you?
Well, in general, it's a generic monitoring tool where you can auto-discover your network if you want, or you can add servers for server. Mm-hmm. But they also have a set of cloud sensors, like monitoring a website from different locations, like ping them, similar things.
Right.
And you also have, like, what they call each measurement is done from a probe, and you can have several probes.
Right.
And that can be like an Azure virtual machine to have a witness outside your network. It can be a probe you install at a customer site to have a witness inside. Mm-hmm. And also the PRTG server itself can be a probe. And then you have, like, a tree structure when you can define. So you have some SANS groups and subgroups. And it basically, they call a device, it's a server. Mm-hmm. And then each device can have many sensors. So that can be something like a ping, CPU, memory, or a custom sensor.
Right.
And then each sensor can have multiple channels, which is the individual values that are measured. It can be like the peak memory set. And if you measure memory, it can have many different. Or if you CPU, it can be CPU 1, 2, 3, it can be a sensor, a channel on that. And that you can use when you do, like, your own business sensors. You can have, like, the total days since last transfer can be one channel.
Yeah, because there's a big jump between how busy is the CPU and whether or not a particular capability of our application is running at all.
Yeah, but like when you see a business sensor fail, mm-hmm. you can then dig down to like CPU memory.
Right. What are the dependencies on that business yeah. sensor?
Yeah, but in regular, it's pretty useless information because it can be fully normal that one server should have 100% CPU all the time because that's how it's configured, or it should have 80% disk usage because it never grows. It's,
right.
Or it can be like it's a swap disk and
it's always busy.
Disk.
Yeah.
That's just, that's or a normal. SQL server all takes the memory it can take.
I've certainly had the experience when I fired up a tool like Microsoft's Active Directory Health Monitor on a system and just had it spew. It's like that AD over there has been offline for 3 months. And, you know, those kind of things, just nobody's been watching to see is AD actually healthy.
And that's like something you really learned over time, but you're never done with monitoring.
Right.
You need to tweak the thresholds. You need to see what's normal for this server because it can be, and that's where powerful, when you start to measure things over time, over months, years, you start to see that every Tuesday this server is busy, but it's normal. Or you can see, oh, this goes down every Tuesday because the cleaning lady pulls out the cord or something like that.
Yep, those things happen, though. It's very funny. I think, but you bring up a really important point here, Matthias, which is generally speaking, we don't know what normal is within our infrastructure.
And that's what takes the work because things like you have to work actively, remove old servers.
Yes.
So you'd remove false alarms, keep the right intervals so you don't DDoS yourself. So it makes sense that don't do expensive VMI queries every second. It's good enough to know that something's every 5 minutes.
Do it once in a while. But, you know, I think it's really interesting just to have that basic idea of, do you know how much that query costs? Because often we don't. We just run them.
Yeah, and that's something that when you get like the DBA and ops and dev to work together, the DBA can create a stored procedure that he can run in the PRTG.
Right.
So you don't do like, the problem sometimes with like generic sensors is that they can be too generic and they do locking or because they don't know the system. But when you can do these like custom SQL sensors and things like that, then you can do efficient for that system, which is really cool.
That's a very an interesting DevOps angle that here's a way for my team members to collaborate together to better understand the system by creating sort of the lowest impact route to these sensors. Although I've got to imagine there's a bunch of third-party scripts and things for sensors for PRTG already.
Yeah, there's a lot of some already and some have we created because we have done our own, like we have to send notifications to Slack and things like that.
Right.
We have done our own Slack command so we can do like, because sometimes like you can be overwhelmed when you get notifications.
Oh, sure.
And then it's worth to read sometimes like you do, what are the top errors right now? Or mm-hmm. what are the, this kind of, like check. So we have a PRT command like, the, like slash PRT status and get what are the down sensors now? What are the paused sensors? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Because it's more, some errors can be long running because you know you pull out the server.
Right.
Then it's important that you pause that sensor or set that is acknowledged.
And I'm not above and have been flatly admitted to, I mean, allowing stuff to trigger because I have taken a server down. I want to sort of a reminder this stuff actually works, right? It's like, hey, look, there's warnings about the server I just shut down. Hooray. Now yeah. you can mute that alarm.
Yeah. And that's part of like, and you know, and it's also good when you start like, we're starting to monitor on the dev side, things like source control, mm-hmm. build servers. We monitor like downloads of our NuGet packages. So we can get
right.
that's kind of when we do a release of one of our open source projects, we can see that, oh, downloads increased and get that kind of things over time and see like, how are our GitHub stars going in? Can we correlate that to the traffic on the Azure website? But also, we have written our own custom sensors for like Azure websites, web apps, in, so you can measure web memory and disk and availability there.
Interesting.
So that's, and things like billing is cool to measure also in Azure. Like, how are we doing with our credits? Are we running out? And we also done some like we do integration tests that we measure and store those results in PRG.
Nice.
So you do like Selenium web test where you log in, put stuff in the cart and have like timers and things like that stored over time.
Right. And do you find once you build these things, you script them so they're running routinely?
Yeah. And it's just how important is this? Is the interval? Sometimes you can run it. This needs to run every minute, but some things you can measure. A NuGet package, that's every hour is good enough.
Sure, maybe once a day even, right?
Yeah.
But I do like the idea that every time you build a test like this, it just becomes part of a suite of things that run routinely.
Yeah, and we started like almost on ops on occasion do like test-driven development. We have an incident that fails.
Right.
We do the sensor first so we know that it fails, and when the fixed error has to peer dig, it's all fine.
Right, right. So when when a customer catches you out on something you didn't know was failing, before you fix it, actually build the test so that he wouldn't catch you again.
So basically you analyze and identify the error, do a test for that, and then it would be one time. You can say to customer, this particular case won't happen again.
Yeah, you won't catch us again. We'll actually catch it before you this time. I'm much happier when I see a problem with whatever service I'm using, typically my ISP or something like that, that when I get to call them, they're like, yes, we see that. It's like, well, thank goodness it's just me being crazy, and that they're already working on it by the time you're there complaining or having concerns about it.
Yeah, it's also a lot better to answer calls when you start with, that's not good.
Oh, yeah. Oh really? Let me go look. It's like, well, where were you? This is something you should be watching. Yeah. I think rule number one when you're on the service desk is don't sound surprised. Never sound surprised.
No.
That's always a mistake. And speaking of service desk, Matthias, give me 1 second here to pay the bills, because this episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by Atlassian, makers of the Jira Service Desk. Jira Service Desk is a new service management software that IT teams will love to use. Built on the Jira platform, Jira Service Desk helps you deliver cheerful service, is simple to set up, and so affordable you won't even need your boss's approval. Try it free today and get a free t-shirt if you are one of the first 100 listeners to Run As Radio to sign up at Atlassian.com/Run As Radio. How convenient. We were already talking about service desks at that particular point.
That's cool. Actually, we're a Jira user that we're using Jira. So
you're not alone. There are a lot of Jira fans out there, and it's nice to see their suite growing and helping people in other ways too.
Yeah. And we also like that speaks for we're a heterogeneous man, because we use both. Like some customers use Visual Studio Online and all that, and some customers use GitHub.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something like that's good to have a compelling story to. Like put metrics in one place.
Well, I love this idea of taking on that service request, like having a ticket, and that ticket gets related to a test. So it's provable, reproducible on demand, and then ultimately maybe tracks to a bug or something like that. So you could actually follow the life cycle of dealing with a customer concern. That makes me really happy, right? That we not only had this problem, we fixed this problem, we can prove you fixed it because this message no longer appears. Like it's, you know, that only one customer is ever going to be able to have that complaint.
Yeah. And I think the good place would be that you can also show that in real time for a customer. So you have full transparency.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that also makes a big incentive to not have false alarms.
Yes.
Because when customers see, oh, the payment gateway is down, they will call you even if it isn't.
Yes. That's absolutely true. Heck, and the number of tweets I get when we break the Run As site or anything like that, it's just sort of a reminder. People are watching.
Yeah. And people have time sometimes also. So when you don't. So it's good to act on it. And it's when you get to a place when you have only tens instead of hundreds and thousands of errors, because when you don't actively work, it's like I come to customers and they're like, two manners. We ignore them because it's screaming. And I was like, that's not a good policy.
No, that's kind of why you exist.
And when it's a new customer, you have to be discreet.
Yes.
And you're more and more listening the older you get, because there's reasons, so you don't say crap directly.
That's yes. calling them idiots is not good for business. You got to be patient. There is a value conversation that I end up in fairly often with management as well as with team leads and the various folks. It's like, do we value customer service here? Like, are these things important? How is that actually manifest? Like, sometimes you have to go all the way back to those basic statements and just acknowledging that internal employees using systems are customers of IT. And sometimes people forget.
And the good thing that when you start creating these like dashboards for both like customers, and you start to create business process dashboards, like for a controller, for the CEO, then like ops start to talk to customers.
Yes.
And those conversations, like they're doing crazy stuff sometimes with so you get like a different conversation going, like, why are you doing this in Excel, or this will have this. So that's like leads to like more work for operations, because right. they can sell new ideas. So operations have a warm market with the sell hat too, because they sell with facts.
Right. One would argue that this problem starts with management not putting the right metrics in place for what successful IT looks like. I mean, I've certainly run, you know, we're talking about this being dark IT. Most of the time when I run into dark IT, it's because management believes they're just a cost center. And as long as we minimize their costs, we're doing well, and not really acknowledge the fact that downtime is more expensive than IT's budget, that it is worthwhile to stay operational, to start getting into measurements of, are we doing our job well?
Yeah, but also, like, if you don't know what you watch for, like if you yes. have a FTP server, that files are just going back and forth doesn't matter. It's like the write files are going back and forth. Mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. if you send a request with new invoices, you should get a receipt back that said these were the invoices that were produced. If you just see, oh, we have activity, it's fine. And I see many just do that. They watch, oh, we can ping the server. But that doesn't mean the API is up.
Yes.
But if you then do a custom, something is really, really simple. Like PowerShell has invoke REST method and LS that can do like basically JSON operations. So it's really simple for ops to get started with something.
Sure.
So then they're like, oh, can we create a basket on the order API? Yeah, we can do that. Then we have test that the SQL server is up. We have test that we can authorize and yep. everything. In one test, we have test the whole chain.
We can exercise all of those things. And again, it's just like when you start lighting up that you see how your systems are operating. I've run into organizations where they simply don't know. And if people aren't complaining, they don't care. I figured out that this is actually in a bank, if you believe it or not. They had misconfigured one of their servers and it was load balancing improperly. And so it was losing 20% of its sessions. And they weren't concerned about it because they weren't receiving that many complaints.
Yeah, but it's when the customers start to get quiet, that then they should be worried.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Because that's also a measure. We actually measure our JIRA. So we see that we have a steady stream of tickets, because silence is
worse.
Dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. The opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. When yeah. they don't care is when you're really in trouble.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, because we are, for some customers, we are their IT department. As consultants also. And when you're dealing with some vendors, you need facts.
Yes.
So we even have like things that when we have a failure, we do a trace route mm-hmm. every time. So we can do test workloads against their APIs. Because so we can, you are down.
No, we're not.
Well, because they send me a screenshot of their pingdom. Well, that doesn't mean the API gives me a 403. It's down. Like, or
okay. Don't worry, you can ping us. It's just it always returns us 500. That's great.
Yeah, and they just added like an test.htm that they do on pingdom. But that's not the same as the API is working.
Right.
and things like that. And you can get facts over time, which is nice, because I don't want to spend my Sunday nights checking that my vendor API is open.
Yeah.
I want to, like, Monday morning, I want to log in, I can see, oh, they were down, and I can send them a ticket and have facts.
I do like this idea that we are, you know, able, I think it's part of the reason we're getting better instrumentation, is that external services are far more common now. You know, you are running in the cloud. You are depending on some other platform piece. Like, that's just becoming normal. And it means that if you're not monitoring that, you don't know what you're paying for or that you're even getting it.
Yeah. And the good thing is that when ops start to talk to developers, mm-hmm. Things like when you start to monitor build servers, then ops will start creating tickets for developers. Why are the builds failing?
Right.
We start to get like, why isn't like this repository should have check-ins every day?
Right.
Why aren't there any check-ins? And once they like you start having those conversations, they'll start to talk to each other, and also you start to like nagging sometimes good to get things sorted.
Well, just scrutiny, right? It's easy to ignore stuff that doesn't affect you every day, but when people start talking about those things and needing to be able to explain it, it tends to surface more issues.
Yeah, and the good thing when it's a tool, it's like less blame in a way.
Yeah.
It's automatic. It's like you can start. Oh, you can start measuring the time report and things. It's just like it's a value,
yeah,
in a dashboard.
And you are trying to do diagnostics. You're trying to find the answers to these questions. So that yeah. tends to be a more constructive process. Do you ever run across folks using System Center for any of this, like Operations Manager?
Yeah, some of it, but the problem is like for us that we monitor many customers,
mm-hmm.
and that's good to have one place. The problem is that many Microsoft products work very good with that Active Directory and that customer,
right.
and with that IIS. And when you have the textbook setup, then they work brilliantly, and it's a superb product.
Yes.
But when you have multiple customers in mixed environment, you have Docker containers, you have Azure VMs and S3 servers out there and things like that, then it falls a little apart. It becomes cumbersome to extend.
Right.
And that's kind of one thing that's good about PRT is that the custom services is a console that, or a PowerShell script or a command line script that returns either XML or JSON.
Nice.
For each channel. And it's just a value.
Yeah. And it's tolerant to all these different things. That's always the problem with any monitoring solution is can it deal with your reality, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Well, these are certainly exciting times. They're more and more visible. You are using PRTG in the cloud. Do you have many of your customers depending on a lot of cloud these days?
Yeah, we are doing more and more. We're a cloud partner, so we're heavily invested in Azure.
Sure. Actually. But doesn't Azure present all of its own instrumentation, the app insights and things like that?
Yeah, but also do we trust them? That, like,
how in cynical a way, but, of you, Matthias. My goodness.
Yeah, but once you have this, we use App Insights and we use the Beam, but you need some more witness outside sure. that cloud.
Have you ever seen those numbers line up? Because I never have. They're never the same.
Well, and also sometimes like different time zones. Sure. They have different end of days. We have customers that are in all continents. And when you have e-commerce and you're going to see how can we do numbers to add up with end of days, when some people say we can't use UTC, we have to use like the Florida time or something like that.
You really need to use UTC. Everybody needs to use UTC. Just like, stop it. Stop it.
Yeah. Yes. And then you like... You like trick them and use UTC internal and just present something else. So, but it's good to have. So we installed some other probes we have in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
We also have probes in our data center and we have probes at the customer site.
Right.
So we can, because the problem like we can have, the reality is complex. They can have tunnels to Azure, but some of the branch offices might go on the public internet to Azure. Mm-hmm. Because they also use the back-end CSR system or things like that that's web-based. But so that's the, you need to test on the same environment as sure. the customers do or same environment as they do. Because if the internet is down, it can be a routing issue. It can be, we have a lot of you can see the networking issues today with, it works from Europe, but not from the US and
right.
vice versa. And then it's good to have different, you can both test from Amazon, or you can test from a customer site or some customer's cottage or whatever. So you have.
I'm still a big webpagetest.org fan, just because they have sites all over the world. So very quickly for me to pop it up, type in a URL. Obviously, it has to be public facing. Say where I want it run from somewhere in the world, and it runs. And you get some kind of feedback. Just a quick and dirty way to have some sense that it's available outside of your network.
Yeah, you have that in Apps Insights too, but it's very limited to within a subscription or
sure.
Sometimes you have boundaries that are virtual boundaries, but subscriptions in Azure can be a boundary. So you can't reach outside a subscription.
Right.
Then it's good to have a tool that can monitor
externally. But, and we started this conversation talking about, I wanted one monitoring solution, the PRTG solution across all of these things.
Yeah.
But you have to balance that against getting enough opinions from different places that you have confidence that your numbers are real.
Yeah. So you can, sometimes it can be you do use something like RunScope to see, do we have a networking error?
Right.
So you route your traffic differently because that's hard to do for yourself. It's very expensive to set up that infrastructure yourself, but now you have good services that can route traffic differently.
Yeah, I mean, and there is a bunch of them. It's almost a shopping list. I'm grabbing links as we're going, just because if folks haven't seen tools like Webpage Test and RunScope and Pingdom, and so they're good. There's a whole bunch of choices. They're generally inexpensive, if not free, for some limited edition, and it'll allow you to sort of see that there's ways for you to know what's going on internally and externally. So what else? Have we missed any other tools? Any other things to help light up this dark IT group we're dealing with?
I think the main part is to start monitoring your business processes.
Sure.
Because that's what I think I see most IT fail. Because they, my service app, I have this and that. But if you don't talk to your economy department, what's important for them?
Right.
For them, it's important that the Excel is on the SharePoint and is updated with the correct numbers. Their Power BI report or whatever. So then start measuring that. CEO, he wants these numbers on the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
Then measure those.
Yeah, totally fair.
But the developers, they want to see like their machines, they should be down so we don't consume credits. Measure that.
Right.
On the night, like, things like that. So yeah, I think then when you start adding a purpose for each measuring, then it makes sense.
Sure. And can assign cost to it as well. Have you ever encountered anything like genuinely malicious? Like people are not monitoring stuff because they're doing something wrong intentionally?
Not in a while. It was like many years ago, so you can find FTP service and things like that.
Sure. I'm thinking of almost exactly the same thing. We turned on a new network monitoring system. This is about 2 years ago, and found out one of the sysadmins, and I don't know which one it was running a BitTorrent site off the one of the servers.
And those things you can find, because it's like when you talk to like economy department and they see like, why do you have this expensive fiber network?
Well, right.
Then we can say we have measured the Cisco switch. We have this kind of traffic, and you need this to do your business. Then it's no like, okay, it's a no-brainer. We need this. But if you see it, we had a customer that had a gigabit internet, and they weren't using it. They had used 2 megabits. Then we can say, do we need it? And you have facts to make a business decision.
Helps a lot. But you know, when we had that particular encounter, it's not what I wanted to bust anybody. I didn't want anybody fired. I just sort of sent out a note to, you know, various people, all hands, like, by the way, we have new network monitoring and it's going to identify all the different kinds of traffic on there. So take a good look at your systems. Make sure there's no traffic in there that you wouldn't be willing to talk about. Just there's a hint, and suddenly the BitTorrent traffic goes away.
But it doesn't need to be malicious. It can be that all users are using Spotify, things like that. And if you have,
and like, it can overwhelm a network.
Yeah, and then you can say like, oh, can we just install a Sonos and everyone listen to whatever? Like, can we have a cheap DSL with a dynamic IP address that we route Spotify through?
Sure. And things like that. We'll put it through that way. Well, I've certainly heard from organizations, especially in places like New Zealand and South Africa, where they're downloading Run As Radio for everybody to listen to, so that they don't have, everybody doesn't have a separate download to consume that bandwidth.
Yeah, and they are coming like with branch caching and things like that. There are different solutions to.
Sure.
But you need to, before you go complex, you need to measure if you need those solutions.
Yeah. It does start with having a good measurement.
Because I see sometimes people go complex first. But then you say, but you have gigabit internet and you have good VPNs. You can go like for a simple solution. You can just route, or you don't have to bundle IPs or whatever.
Yeah. You can QoS your way out of this. So start with facts. I think you said that.
Yeah. and it's like, well, you laugh but there's so much decisions made on gut feelings.
Yeah, totally with you. And so many times as a consultant, you're brought in to reinforce a gut feeling.
Yeah.
Not to actually, and they get really upset when you want facts. Like, no, just tell us we're right. How about we measure so we know we're right?
You don't need to argue in the same way. It's more a discussion then. And it's, sure. I like that because
it's not an opinion. You're looking at data.
It's hard to win over someone's gut feeling.
That's true.
But if you say like, this service isn't used, we can take it offline. Or why is this server used? We are going to take it offline.
It should go away. It represents a liability. Yeah. Nah, I love it. That's really good thinking, Matthias. Boy, a half hour just sort of disappeared, but it's one of my favorite subjects, and I like the way you tackle it. Just sort of turning on the lights for folks so that they can start to understand what's going on in their systems. I think that's a show, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll talk to you again. Can we see you at a conference or anything in the near future? Where are you going to be?
The next conference, I will be in Tech Days in Sweden, but just at Attendee. So
there you go. Good enough. Mattias Carlson, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.